Oh, you guys are too good. Go ahead and see. Go have a seat. All right. Sorry, I just had to. I don't like to rush things. I just wanted to take it all in. Anybody tell you guys how much Jesus loves you? Anybody tell you Jesus loves you today? Has anybody told you that? Jesus loves you. He's proud of you. He loves you. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. He loves you. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. And he's going to fulfill it in your life. Okay? All right. Anybody else kind of, anybody feeling kind of tired today, or is it just me? Okay, so I think it's okay. We had a pretty busy week, okay? All right. Usually when I start feeling tired is where I started having to get engaged. I don't want to just let my, I'm like, God has something good for us. And God has something good for us to take in. And let's not let those just kind of like, okay, God. But let's just engage in faith, okay? I'm going to do it right now because I'm feeling it. But I don't want to just let the facts of reality of how busy last week was, how busy work is, how busy everything is, all the good reasons to kind of take the low, like the easy casual road. I don't want those to come in here and stop what God has in here, okay? And so I just encourage you guys in the same way. I'm just going to pray real fast, okay? Tell you, Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you so much, God, for that. And God, you're just so good. You're so good, and your word is so good. And it never stops coming into my heart. You never hold back. You never hit the brakes. You never slow down in your pursuit of me. And your love, God, overtakes me and it rejuvenates every part of my body, every part of my mind, every part of my spirit. And I'm just so glad that I get to speak about how awesome you are. Thank you so much for everybody here. Thank you so much just for the destiny that you put inside their heart. Thank you so much for the dreams that you're unraveling and the hope that you're instilling and just the love that you're just tender, just blowing your love into their hearts, and you're starting to stir up that flame inside of them, God. You are so good. You are so good. You are so good. You never stop being good. Your goodness is never ending. It just overtakes us, and we just thank you so much. We thank you so much that you're going to reveal more and more and more and more of it to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Man, God is good. All right. We have covered a chunk of stuff. Let's do a quick little recap. Okay, foxes. Let me ask you guys a question. How do we, when the foxes come up, I just have a couple people, how are you taking care of them? Anybody, it's probably over, anybody have an answer to that? How are you taking care of foxes? Anybody? Yeah, go for it. Here. Yeah, speak into the mic so everybody can hear you though. So good. So good. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Something that's helped me is getting around the body, getting around the leaders that's going to help you get rid of those. And because everybody has weaknesses. My weakness might not be your weakness.
Yeah.
And it's, that's what I've noticed is getting around the body and staying surrounded with word,
do
not forsake the gathering of believers.
Yeah.
And God
meant
that.
Come on, man. You're good. That's awesome. Good. Your company. So good. Nate, you got something? Oh, sorry. But after Nate, we're probably going to stop, so sorry.
It's on the list. When foxes come. First thing is the word. Then worship, YouTube videos, podcasts, and then after that, it's my wife. But I've been trying to put my wife on second to that. And then, of course, trying to put more of my small group in.
Yeah.
And around with my wife. So the word, worship, wife, guy friends,
nice.
And then YouTube. Got a lot of classes sometimes, so.
Dude, love it. Love it. Get hungry for the word and go after it. I love it. I love it. One thing I have down for the taking care of the foxes is believing God loves you so much that he wants to take care of them. He's not ashamed of your foxes, like we just heard. So good. He's not scared of them. He loves you, and he loves removing the foxes. Selling cheap. Anybody have like two? Anybody have it's really quick. Any takeaways from last week? Or no? Yeah, that would have been last week. It's like all blur. Any takeaways? Anybody? I mean, no, it's fine. You're not gonna hurt my feelings. But anybody? No. Sure. Yeah. That's so good. It gets me pumped up. So good. Anybody else? Sure. But then the recording wouldn't hear it. And they'd be very sad. I think you pass it over to her. So good.
Yeah.
So good. Awesome. Yeah, you're right here.
So I was sharing this longer that I just love writing out quotes. So this weekend when we saw some of us all with Barnwell and Steve Backlund, I wrote all these quotes that I go back and read and read and read. And one thing that you said last week that I wrote down started in my notes that really touched me is when you said the mess that the fox makes in the vineyard is not who you are.
Awesome. So good. Man, it gets me pumped up. Some of the stuff I don't really remember even saying, so I'm like, oh God, you're amazing. So, before we get moving too far, I did want to clarify some stuff on the ice cream story that I mentioned last week, okay? Because Andy brought it up, and you know, I left out some details, because I just kind of gave you the overall testimony of the situation, but what I didn't tell you guys is that the ice cream, like, yes, it was convicting here, but there would be weeks, by weeks I mean like several times, because I didn't eat ice cream every day, but there'd be several times I'd be at Brahms eating the ice cream, knowing that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but just saying, Jesus, you love me? You're going to get me through this? This is not who I am? You still love me? It's not who I am. And I just stood there, even though I was eating the ice cream, okay? I was eating it knowing that he's called me somewhere else. I would still be confessing who he calls me to be, okay? And then it was just like, and that's what I do. I just keep, no, Jesus, you love me. You're taking it from me. You're taking it from me. And then it was just one day I was driving, and then I saw the Brahms sign, and I was like, it's gone. He just took it away. And I just wanted to get you guys to get that picture. It's even as you're going through the process, you hold on to what who he calls you and who he says you are, okay? And everything he puts in your heart to do, he will do it. It's not up to you to figure it out, discipline yourself, get in there, and make it happen. He's saying, no, surrender it to me the best you can, and you just keep surrendering. I'm going to take care of the rest, okay? So I did want you guys to know that. It is a true story, but it was a process, okay? And it was so much fun to see the fact that I was driving, I was like, you did it, God. You did it, God. It wasn't me. It wasn't anything I did. It was your love that just came in and did it. And just gets, man, stuff like that that just kind of, it just takes me over the edge. Why do I love him? I'm like, come on, man. He never stops loving me. Every single week, I get more revelation. He shows me more and more how much he loves me. And I'm like, I thought I pretty much figured it all out, how much you loved me. And he's like, no, you have no idea. You haven't even scratched the surface of how much I love you. You haven't even scratched the surface of what I would do for you. And I'm like, I don't want to know what life is like without him. I don't want to know what life is like going through a problem in a situation where I was so wrapped up in my worry and my concern, so focused on God, where my prayer used to be, God, I don't know. God, can you just take this, fix this problem, God? God, just fix the problem. Everybody's doing this. My work's like this. My friends are like this. My spouse is like this. God, can you just come in and just give me a break? I'm so tired. Da, 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 da. And now it's, God, thank you so much that you love me and that you're putting your likeness in my heart. That no matter what the circumstances are here, I get to know your love here and I get to be your love here. And it's like, I don't ever want to go back. I don't care what my boss does. I don't care what they do. I'm not going to hold back what he's done inside my heart. I love God so much that I have something worth fighting for. I have something that's some preciousness. He's so precious that it's not worth selling out for. I hold on to this. And last week we did talk about selling cheap. And I didn't feel like I did a very good job at sealing this up at the end. And I apologize, but thank goodness that I get her kind of a little redo here. But it was, even when we sell cheap, God never does. He never sells cheap. Who you are in his eyes, he will never let go of. Does that make sense? Like, he's not sitting there, he's like, well, God, talking to God, he's like, well, Susan, she has about, 25% chance that she'll actually repent. So I don't know how much time we should actually allocate to loving on her, because I don't really know how much you get. I mean, we could go over here to Brian or Stan. There's about a 75% chance probability that we love on them, that they'll be radical and they'll go save all these people. You know, he doesn't. That thought never goes into his head. He says, even if you never acknowledge me, I will pour out the rest of my, I will pour out everything I have in pursuit of loving you. Even if you don't ever see it, even if you don't ever acknowledge me, even if you don't turn to me and give me credit and fall in love with me, I will never stop loving you. He never sells cheap on you. Okay? He never sells cheap on you. I mentioned this once during this last time when we did repentance, but Jesus, he takes every single title. Before he came down, everything, he had the title. He was up here with God. He had the title. He was with him at the foundations of the earth. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Great I Am in everything. And then he takes it all and sets it aside, becomes a man just for one thing, your heart. He becomes nothing. Becomes obedient to death on the cross just to win the title of a king of your heart. He's like, I want your heart so bad. Our hearts need to be united so much. I'll throw everything, all these things aside, and the chance to get you. I want you. And this is it blows my mind. Jesus never stops believing you. During worship this past Sunday, I think it was second service, there was a moment that just kind of hit me. It's when Bryce, he was sitting there and he just says, this is the God I would give my life for. Who was in there for that? It's the second service? Okay, so those of you that weren't there for that, basically the Holy Spirit was just moving. And it was just a sweet, sweet, sweet presence. And Bryce just, he just stops. He's like, man, this is the God I would give my life for. And there's just so many times, I don't know about you guys growing up in the church, read verses here. I'm going to rattle some off, like Luke 14:33. Let's see if I can find it real fast. Where it says, like, likewise, unless you surrender all to me, give up all your possessions, you cannot be one of my disciples. We hear verses like this all the time, about, you know, or Luke 9:23, which is, Jesus said to all of his followers, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely, embrace my cross, and as your own, and surrender to my ways. Another fun one that I wish I had more time to dig into. Man, Tim mentioned it to one of the other nights there in one of our meetings, and I was like, man, that verse always gets me. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. But of course, that was the only one that I didn't mark. So, sorry. Bear with me. 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay. Or it's actually 12, sorry. And this is where the devil, it talks about like the devil's come up. He's this mighty dragon, and he's a big ferocious thing. And it's talking about the believers, and it says, they conquered him completely through the blood of the Lamb and the power of the word of his testimony. But usually in churches, we skip the next section of the verse. We leave it out. It says, they triumphed because they did not love and cling to their own lives, even when faced with death. So all throughout Scripture, and even bringing up, we talk about like, hey, if you want Jesus, you got to die. It's always about you giving up, but the picture of what you get back was never really painted very well. It's always about like, well, if you want to be more holy, you got to sacrifice all this stuff, and it's about all this work-based, and usually we go into it in our minds, work-based mode. Okay, I'm going to read more, I'm going to do this stuff more, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but there's no... The picture of Jesus and his love pursuit for you is absent. And so that's one thing it's like, I love so much about it, is that when Bryce mentioned that, I said, this is the God I'd give my life for. It changes so much of our paradigm that we have in our head, that it's not so much about like what we have to give up. It's the revelation of what he gives up for us. I became death so that you can have my life. Everything that God gave Jesus, so Jesus is, he is one with God, and he said, and we're one with him, and he, God gave him everything, and then he turns around and gives it all to us. And we get to have more of him. And now it's a pursuit. And in essence, Jesus has bent on putting to death all the seed of Adam in your life through his death on his cross. So everything. And through that pursuit, he's so, like, because last week we talked about the foxes, we talked about selling sheep, all these little things that come up in our week-to-week, in our day-to-day life. He's so bent on eradicating those things from your life with his truth and his love that it never shows its head again. Those are the thoughts, that's the ways, the theme right to a man, the seed of Adam, those things that get inside of here. He wants to put them all, and he's going to bury them. The picture I really like is in Revelations 4, when it talks about, you got to read Brian Simmons' version of it, okay? Go read that. So good. But it talks about, I think it's the fourth or fifth horse comes out when they break the seal, and it talks about, that's the very scary one that says, and he rode on a pale horse, and death was his rider was death, and rawr. But with the way that Brian says it, which is so beautiful, is that it's not translated pale horse, it's green. The horse was green, signifying life. And death was this rider, signifying Christ, saying that life, Jesus' death, gives life. So he, through the death of Christ, we now can have life. And his rider, so paints the picture that Jesus is standing on the horse, just vigilantly going into whatever situation you have, and he's saying, here, let go of it. It's death in your life. Hand it over to me, and I will put life inside of it. I don't want to just put a Band-Aid on it. I'm here, and I'm going to put the death that you have in your life, so that life will reign inside of you. My life that I have in here will reign in your life, and the testimony of my love for you will reign over everything you are. You see it? This is a picture. Those are not things that we just have to deal with. Those are the things that we get to give to him and get victory from, through him. He gives us the victory in him. Okay? Those are, man, it took me so long to get that. It took me so long to get that. So many years wasted, not even realizing how much God, he loved me so much that he wants every aspect, my emotional, my mental, everything to be victorious in who he is. That he's like, hey, no, I'll take that and I'll crush it and I'll show you how much I love you and then you'll fall in love with me. And I'm like, yep. Yeah. I just keep falling in love with you because you just keep transforming. Tim talked about it amazingly, whether that 2 weeks ago, about the transformation. We live in a transformation gospel. Christianity was not a, the blessings are a byproduct. Byproduct. This is transformation. This is the relationship in which I give, when his light shines and I find things that I need to give up, I give them to him, and then he transforms me into who he is. I'm constantly growing and being transformed into his likeness. It's a transformation gospel. All right. Let's hop over to John chapter 4 real fast. This is the story of the woman at the well. I left my phone. I have no idea where we're at time-wise. All right. Holy Spirit, thank you so much, God. Thank you so much. All right, so I'll just start. I'm going to start reading through this, and we're going to start picking it apart, okay? Soon the news reached the Jewish religious leaders, known as the Pharisees, that Jesus was drawing great crowds of followers, coming to be baptized, more than be baptized by John. Although Jesus didn't baptize them, it was actually disciples. Jesus heard what was being said and abruptly left Judea, returning to the province of Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaritan territory. Quick note here. If you guys get time, I said it last week, go back. On the website, my dad has all of his original Why Not You series. Why not me? Why not me? Whoops. Series. They're all there. Go back and listen to him. He's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Go listen to him. He's 100 times better than me. He's got a lot of years experience. But go back and listen to him. They're beautiful. And it's just super amazing. So I just want to tell you, like, this is week 5 on his series, by the way, okay? And he's got so much more, like, Bible nerd knowledge than I do. But here I want to highlight, he had to pass through the Samaritan territory. I'll just keep going, okay. Jesus arrived at the Samaritan village of, Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph long ago. Wearied by his long journey, he sat on the edge of Jacob's well. He sent his disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already the afternoon. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." Surprised, he said, "Why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you would ask me for a drink and I would give you the living water." The woman replied, "But sir, if you don't even have a bucket, and this well is very deep, so where would you find this living water? Do you really think that you are greater than the ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his children and livestock?" Jesus answered, "If you drink from Jacob's well, you will be thirsty again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never thirst again and be forever satisfied. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes gushing fountains of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding you with endless life." The woman looked, "Let me drink of this water so I'll never thirst again. And I won't have to, well, I don't want to get back in there because we're going to just stay right there. Endless life." Give some background information. Jews did not like Samaritans. Okay? There's been a lot of times in history where the Jews would get overtaken by different people, and thus there were some half-breeds as a byproduct of that. So these were all the Samaritans were the half-breeds, you know, some like Philistines or some of that. So they were never pure blood. And through different seasons, what would happen is you would have it where, like, if Israel was doing great, the Samaritans, they were Jewish. They were ride that gravy train. But if Israel got overtaken or something was bad with that, times were a little rough, maybe we won't really identify with the Jews right now. We're going to go hang out over here in the Philistine camp or somewhere else where life's a little bit easier. So they never really, so you can see that there's hostility here. Jews, my dad would say they hated the Samaritans. And so you did not have to technically go the route Jesus went. You could go around, okay? You could go around, and a lot of Jews would. But that was meant to get so, but Jesus had to pass through. You see, Jesus had to pass through. And that's what changes it all, is that Jesus, sitting there listening to God, and he said, no, you have to go through Samaria. Okay? And, man, where's that going? Okay. One thing, it just hits me hard because there's so many times in your life, the situations, what you're going through, the circumstances, and Jesus has to. Like, there's an encounter waiting for you, okay? Sometimes we get the paradox where we have such big problems that we forget how big our God is. You know, we have such big problems that our God is really small. Usually, I find this a lot. If you have a big God, your problems are really small. If you have a small God, your problems are very big, okay? And so, but this is what I love about it. It's like, so even no matter which size you're at right now, big God, small God, wherever you're at, Jesus had to go through Samaria. There's an encounter waiting for you. There's an encounter waiting for you. And he is right. He's setting the scene. God is like, see how big, in my head, I'm like, God, you see how big you are? God is, there's somebody there. No one else knows. How many people know about the story? Do I need to go through a whole lot of details here? Okay, so no one wants this chick, but God told Jesus, I want her, okay? And that's how he's doing for you. That's what he looks at when he sees you. He's like, no, God, I have to get there. My child's right there. I have to get her back. Will you go for it? That person at your work, maybe look at that. Let's look at that. The person at your work that annoys you, that no one likes. Yeah, here. But usually we sit there and we justify his annoyingness or his rudeness for a reason why I don't need to. It's like, I can use that as a justification and stay away from it. But here, God's heart is saying, no, I have to have him. I have to go through that. Can you go? We go through that. You have to go through that road. You have to go through that road because I have to have him back. I have to get him back. It's like, oh my gosh, God is so good. One thing super awesome about this is, so she has, I didn't read it, but she's had five husbands, so she's been around a little bit, and she's living with one extra, so she's had six. Oh, this is Chinese, sorry guys, this is Chinese, this is the number six in Chinese. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 6. Sorry, random stuff. 6. Maybe this would be better. So she's had six. She's with six people. And six is the number for man. All throughout the Bible, six means man. So she's had six husbands. She's been living her whole life trying to satisfy herself, satisfy her desires, the way that men like to, how we think it's supposed to happen. And she's been doing it her whole life. But then she runs into Jesus at the well. And he makes man number seven. He makes man number seven. Seven in the biblical terms is completeness, perfection. Okay, she ran into Jesus at the well. She found her completeness. She's trying to do it her whole life. Okay, let's read it. At the very beginning, this always cracks me up. Jesus says, hey, give me a drink of water. Give me a drink of water. And he's not really saying, he's saying, give me your junk. Give me some water. Give me your junk, and I will give you life. Give me all the stuff that you have going on. This is a great exchange. He loves her so much. He's like, give me water. He wants to engage with her because he can say, here, give me water. So then give me your stuff, and I'll give you my life. Man number 7, quit trying to do it your way. Don't get out of and just, oh, wow, he loves me. He loves me. And he wants to take all that stuff, and he wants to take it out and make it beautiful. He wants to put, he wants to put inside of your living water, gushing over. I mean, she wasn't the popular one in town, apparently to some guys, but the town didn't like her. She came out in the middle of the day, middle afternoon. Everybody knows you go out in the morning, hang out with the other ladies, chitty chat. She came out at the worst time. And there was Jesus, man number 7. He said, because God said, you had to go there and you have to get her. My child's there and she needs to know how much I love her. Go get her. And Jesus is like, oh yeah, I'm going. I'm going. And he just sits there and he tricks her into this dialogue. Not really tricks, but he just engages her in this dialogue. It's like, and then she realizes, oh, he loves me. Even though I've done all this stuff, he's seen it all. I can't even hide it, but yet he loves me. And she runs off, gets the whole village. The whole village gets saved. And historians go on to say that she becomes, she becomes the first evangelist for non-Jewish people. And in historians, and I don't know where you figure it out from, but historians say the story is that she goes on to be, because I don't know how you prove this stuff. How do you track that back? I don't know. But the story is, it's a fun story though, is that they go back and she says, she became such an evangelist that she was even, at the end of her life, she led so many people to Christ, but at the end of her life, she was a martyr. And just amazing to me. Absolutely amazing to me that she, this one encounter, and she gets so hooked on Jesus that she just gives up everything. See, at this point, this is the man I would give my life for. The man that can look at a pile of junk, he can see past all of it and say, no, I see perfection. I see perfection, and I believe in it, and I'm going to love it out of you. And it's going to dump his Holy Spirit, put the living water in you. And she takes that. She gets the living water, and she takes it, goes to her village, goes everywhere, and just she becomes a water fountain. And I believe that is totally for us. What the image that I really like, but it's kind of is in Song of Solomon's. Here I'll just read 5. It talks about the bride. This is the bridegroom king. Oh, excuse me. I have gathered from your hearts my equal, my bride. Let me rephrase it. I have gathered from your heart my equal, my bride. I have gathered from my garden all the sacred spices, even my myrrh. I have tasted and enjoyed my wine with you. I have tasted with pleasure my pure milk and my honeycomb, which you yield to me. I delight in gathering my sacred spices. All the fruits of my life I have gathered from within you, my paradise garden. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you call my heart the paradise garden, and you love coming here and just taking, and you get joy from being here and taking fruit out. Like that's his joy is your heart. Ah. Come, all my friends, feast upon my bride. All you revelers of my palace, feast on her, my lovers. Drink and drink and drink again. Until you can take no more, drink the wine of her love. Take all you desire, you priests. My life within her will become your feast. That to me, I'm like, yeah, You are just a feast of God's love. His joy is overwhelming you with so much love that it's going to impact, just go into your life, that all you can do is stand there and just shine for the whole world. Look at what he's done. He loves you. Hey, you guy on the crane being a ding-dong. Jesus loves you. Yeah, your work. Hey, kid who can't get stuff straight. Jesus loves you. All you are is now a feast for this whole world. This thing is going crazy. A feast for the whole world to take in. That never runs dry. He didn't say, hey, wait, hold up. There's only a little bit of my love. If you eat, she's going to be out. No, it's have your fill. I put so much love into that child, into my bride. You can't run dry. She can feed you for life. And that's who you are. That's who you are. You're not empty. You're not dry. Your circumstances might say, hey, I'm a little bit tired. I'm like, nope. I don't read that. Your circumstances might say, hey, I'm a little bit worn. I'm a little sore. I'm a little, blah, 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 whatever other things are. Nope, don't read it. I read fountain of life. I read overcomer. I read wellspring of love going to every situation. I read life changer. Jesus Christ infused. I read go. Lover of his soul. I read desire of his heart. I read passion of God. I read desired gem, sought after precious jewel. It's who you are. It's who you are. You're in the parable. The parable of the man that meets and sees a gem in the field and goes and sells everything to get it. That parable, I read it. When I read that one, I say, oh, no, that's Jesus. Jesus saw you in a field of junk. He saw the one gem and said, I'm going to give up everything. I'm giving up everything to get my gem. I'm getting the gem. And that's who you are. You're beautiful. You're a gem that's sought after by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Where are we at? All right. I'm going to wrap it up. The had to. I kind of just want to mention this kind of story. The had to. A lot of times we feel like no one really sees us, or our life might not be that amazing because we're not in front of everybody, or no one really knows who you are. You just kind of work your 9-to-5 and you've done it so many times that the value of that job, when it first was super awesome, you're super happy you had it, but now the value is down because it got repetitive and complacent, and you're kind of like, meh. And kind of just gotten the flow of it. And you forget how valuable you are. To be 100% honest with you, like, the weekends like this past weekend can get a little, like, for me, it was easy for me to kind of bite on a lie. Because I get to stand up here, and even though I know God has put a lot in me, God loves me, it's like when I'm talking to these people, and I get to stand next to Tim, Bryce, Andy, and these guys are like, they're giving all these words, they're giving all this stuff, and yet they don't say anything about me. I'm like, huh. I'm like, okay, God. No, don't, it's not a sad thing. It's not a sad thing. I know the truth, okay? I know the truth. My value is not dictated on what I do. My value is dictated on whose I am. Okay? So the lies, the things that start coming in here, and it was just really funny because I'm like, God, why, how did, like, you know, the little bit of it just kind of like wanted to hold on to this thing. And as I said, I'm like, God, I don't really know how to get rid of this. I don't really know what to do about this because it's here. I know it's a lie, but I don't know what to do. And because growing up, I was always the shortest kid. I mean, I have a huge experience. I was the shortest kid. Everybody always looked past me. Okay, I would get looked past a lot. And now I'm in this, you know, there's 10 million other people, and they're like, oh yeah, God's got all this stuff, blah, 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 and it's super good, and I love it. Don't get me wrong, I'm like, I want that for them. I want that for them. But then they're like, so who are you? And you're like, I'll just help out and serve where I can, and I love Jesus. And they're like, okay, you'll be a good leader. And I'm like, sweet. Thanks, man. You know, like, give the guy grace. I mean, how many people do you have to go through? And, you know, it's not his fault. It doesn't make any difference for, you know, it doesn't change who I am. But it's so easy for us to be like, hey, see, you don't really have a destiny. See, they can't even see it. It's not even there. The lies, they want to get in here. The lies want to get in here. The foxes want to get in my vineyard. And so here I was on Sunday. And I was like, God, I really don't know what to do. I'm like, this is weird. I don't like this being here, but I need your help with this thing. I know you're going to take care of it because it's just a stupid lie. And it was right during the time where Bryce was talking about, this is the God I would give my life for. And he painted a picture for me. And it was me as a little boy. And it was at like a gas station in the middle of nowhere, just like a desert. It was just empty. And I was just sitting there, and I was just crying because the church bus left me. The church bus went down the road, and everybody was on it, and I got left behind. And I was just like, you know, like, oh, yeah, what was me? But then all of a sudden, this like beastly muscle car pulls up, and it's just like, you know, and it's rumbling. And it's just rumbling. And Jesus just looks at me and he says, get in. I haven't forgot you. Get in. I won't leave you. Get in. This ride's just starting. My fuel doesn't run out of gas. This car doesn't go empty. It only goes pedal to metal. Get in. And I'm like, Jesus. That's my God. That's my God. See, every single lie, every single lie, every part I want to sell cheap on what he said to me, all the little stuff, they want to get in here. But then I'm like, ah, oh. But then Jesus shows up and he says, get in the car. I ain't never leaving you. I just know that. I just feel like that's not just for me, that's for you guys as well. Jesus is saying, get in the car. Get in the car, I'm never leaving you. I'm never leaving you. And that's so freeing because now, like, for me, like, Tim, there's no expectations on Tim. Tim, do what you got to do. Jesus keeps loving me. I'm good. No one has to see it. I get it. I get to have Jesus. I get my revelation. I get everything from him. And he becomes my source of truth. Now I'm, Tim, whatever, they do something and all of a sudden, I'm okay. If life doesn't work out, I go, no. I'm in the car with Jesus. I'm in the car with Jesus. And he's going as fast as I like to go. I only have one speed in life. And that's pedal to the metal. I don't want to slow down. Seatbelts are questionable right now. But that's where I like to go. And he knows my heart. And he's like, no, get in. And we're going to fly. And it's just, wow. It gets me going. It gets me going. And if that's related to anybody else, one thing I want to specify, also kind of hit on, is Jesus has more thoughts of you, so many thoughts of you, that you can build endless beaches, all the stars in the sky. He can fill the whole sky with thoughts about who you are. He has. Only, but men, people, can only see what's right in front of them. Okay? There's only one person that can see all the intricacies, all the details, everything that is about you. How can anybody else actually see it all? It's impossible. I will only see in part. I will only know in part. Man will only see in part and know in part and only be able to see aspects of it. But God sees the whole picture. Okay? And he wants to be with you. That's what to me is like, it's so much freeing when I realize, you know what, God? This world will never see my full potential. This world will only, they'll never be able, you'll never be able to see all the stuff that God put inside of me. So why would I hold you to that standard? There's only one person that can. And it's Jesus Christ. And he keeps calling and pulling it out of me more and revealing more who he is and what he's done in my life. And he's the one. And that's what I'm like, it's only him. I want to be connected with him. I don't want anything from him. I don't want to find anything of my identity in what people can say. Because they will only ever see aspects. They only see a part of the picture. They can't see everything that he's put and called you to be. The only one person has, and that's God himself. And that's the one I want to be with because he's the one that can help bring truth and life and show me, oh, wow, you did this? You called me this? And now it doesn't go to my head, but it goes into my heart. And the relationship thickens. The relationship I have with God now thickens. Let's see here. I'm going to say the activation. Jason, you want to get up there and do your little thing? It's so good. Yeah, I just feel like the Holy Spirit's like a really sweet presence here. I don't really want to stir it. You guys are awesome. I know it's been a busy week. Yeah, Holy Spirit. As we get ready to just engage in worship, I just really encourage you guys just to, man, just open up your heart. Fall in love with him. Commune with him. Really commune with him. Don't just tell him, like, don't do the old prayers, God, I need your help because the situation stinks. Commune with him. You know how many Christians don't commune with God? I mean, there's so many Christians that don't even talk to him. Just says, hey, God, this is what's going on. This is a little bit tough, but your word says this. You love me so much. And they just, you don't even commune. You just talk about your problems. 95% of the time, it's about your issues, your stuff. And you miss out on everything he is doing. Commune with God. Go get alone. Go get alone. Get your word. Go feast on it. Go fall in love with him. If your relationship's lacking, it wasn't because of him. All right? If you're having a hard time believing that he loves you, it's not from his side. Go get alone with him. He will reveal all of it to you. Okay? All right, Jace, so I'll let you take it over, man.
We're just going to take a moment to commune with him. Just to be still before him. Listen to that quiet whisper. Thank you.
There's no doubt. heart is so desperate for you. Let it rain.
Thank you. heartbeat for us. When we have his heartbeat and his thoughts and his visions of us, we have his truths of who we are. We can then see the world rightly. And so, Father, we are after your heart. We are after the things that you have for us. We are after the person that you're calling us to be, Jesus. So right now, we just lean into your chest, Jesus. We press our ear against your chest to hear your heartbeat for us. God, we are after your eyes. We want to see ourselves rightly. We want to see you rightly. We want to see the world around us rightly. We are after your ears. We want to hear what you have to say about us and about those around us. We are after your heart. So right now, I want you guys to ask the Lord for a person. It can be a friend or a family member, but somebody that you feel like maybe you quote unquote up on because it was too hard of a friendship or it was too hard of a relationship where they'll never come to the Lord because of X, Y, and Z. But just ask the Lord for a person. And then just like Kyle said, God looked at Jesus and he said, I need you to walk this road because my daughter is at the end of it and I have to have her back. I have to have her back because she is mine. So right now, if you just imagine yourself sitting at the throne of Jesus, looking up at him, he's there and you're saying, you have to walk this road with me because my child is at the end of it and we have to have her back. She belongs with us. She belongs walking with us through the garden in the cool of the day. And she belongs sitting at my right hand with me. She deserves to drink the living water that you are drinking. And if you're thinking, I don't know if I can do that, why not you? Why not me? So, Father, we thank you for those words. Why not me? You are his precious ones. You are his loved ones. You are his mighty, mighty daughters and sons that are called to walk that road. Because at the end of it, there's someone who needs the living water. There's someone who needs the hope of knowing that there is something worth living for. That there is somebody worth living for. So, Father, I just thank you for those words by me. I thank you for the truth that there is a living water, that there is a living God who calls us to that water every morning. Jesus, we praise you for the words. We praise you for the truths that were placed in hearts tonight, for the truths and seeds that were planted on good soil. We thank you for them, God. And we just praise you for who you are and for what you're doing in our hearts. We praise you, God. Amen. So there is past our time, but Papa Steve has a prophetic act. So if you have kids, we just ask that you go and grab them. You can come back in if you want. But if you have kiddos, please go grab them. And if you can't stay around, you can stay around.
Father, we thank you that you love us so much. The scripture says that you did not spare your own son. And if you did not spare your own son, how will you not also along with him freely give us all things? He whispered to my heart earlier as I was looking to tonight that he wants to meet our needs. And he gave me something specific. If you are believing God for a different vehicle, I know this is pretty natural, but if you're believing God for a different vehicle, whether it's an upgrade or another vehicle for your family, I'm going to take a key, and if you're believing for that, come lay hands on it with me. We're just going to unlock that for your future. The key means nothing, I mean, in and of itself. But we are his representatives upon the earth. And whatever we unlock and release, heaven unlocks.
Michelle and Jason are going to keep seeing me. But if you have kids, please go pick them up so we can honor chapter orders. And if you want to say 5-10 words and just be with the Lord, please don't stop what he's doing in your heart.
Thank you. Good.